Welcome, everyone. Today we have Sherry Reichert-Ballul with us. She runs the site called Simply Celebrate, simplycelebrate.net, if you want to go find it right now. Yeah. And she is like a walking celebration and has her attention on this part of life that we often neglect, and tries to create experiences both for herself and other people where we get to experience real connection and appreciation of each other and celebrate life even when it's really freaking hard. Right, Sherry?
Yes, especially when it's really freaking hard.
Yeah, exactly. I just love, I love following your blog and the projects that you do. And you created something called a love list, or you popularized something called a love list. Maybe you want to share about that, because I think that's actually really relevant for this Make Your Own Magic class and just for my people in general.
Oh, I'm so glad to talk about it, because to me, that really is the foundation of everything I do. The love list, just like it sounds, is basically just a list of everything we love about someone, and we can present it to them in many different forms. It can just be a handwritten list on a scrap of paper. It can be in something I call a joy jar. It can be inside fortune cookies, or, I mean, the possibilities are endless. But the point for me is always, like, say it now, you know, that all too often we wait to share these feelings of what we love about someone, what we so appreciate. We wait until they're dead at the funeral.
Right.
And yeah, so, and, you know, as it pertains to the magic of what you're talking about, there's something magical that happens when we focus on love.
Say more.
Well, that it's like, I call it the secret sauce of all of this, that it's like, if we want to have a magical life, when we're actually focused on everything that we love about someone, and it's funny because I'm sitting here, we're on Skype, so I'm looking at your picture right now. So, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, Andrea just brings so much joy, and look at the beauty and her jewelry and her energy, and just a few seconds of focusing on what I love about you, I feel the energy in my body. Mm-hmm. I feel different. I'm transformed, because in those moments, I'm just love.
That's so beautiful. You know, you're reminding me of this really profound moment I had over the weekend. I went to see Frank Ostasevsky's book launch at Book Passage. And he's somebody who has been sitting with the dying for the last 40 years and totally transformed end-of-life care, and has learned so much about living fully from the dying that he just wrote a book about it. And well, and first, so he sort of outlines these five invitations, or these five precepts, in this book. And the first one is don't wait, which is exactly what you're saying. Say it now. Right?
I love that. Yes.
And he's told this really beautiful story, which I won't be able to repeat. Well, it's in the book, but what I got from it was that, not that like we accumulate a certain amount of love over our lifetime, and if you don't get a lot of love, then you don't have a lot of love, but we actually just allow love to move through us. It's not that we have it. We create a space for it to move through us. So that could happen at any moment.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? And so it's like, by creating this experience, either of like looking at my photograph on Skype and being like, oh, look at her, and just being in this moment of appreciation, you're actually creating an opening for love to come through.
That is so true. It's like we step into that river of love that's always happening, right?
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
I know, right? So, okay, so that brings us to, you know, creating... Oh my God, what is that? What am I doing?
I don't know.
Is that me? Oh my God, that was so weird. Okay, we're not going to worry about that.
A
little technical problem. Oh my God. Okay. Also, by the way, my children might invade at any moment. They're on spring break. So we're just going to do our best with this and let it be imperfect.
Oh, they'll bring their own form of magic.
They totally will. And I will create an opening for love to be present and not agitation. Okay. Anyway, where was I? Oh my gosh. Now I got sidetracked.
Well, because we were talking about what it is to just sort of step into that river of love that is always flowing.
Yes, exactly. And so I was going to bring us to, creating experiences that allow us to be that channel for love, and how it's such good medicine for us and the other person. But maybe even most importantly, it's good medicine for us. What do you want to say about that?
I definitely do. I think you know this because you know my history, but I had a huge history of anxiety and depression. And at one point, you know, I was just always thinking of ways to get off the earth. It was just, so full of this self-hate and expectations of who I should be that I couldn't live up to. And it was this period of time that I started creating. I think that's about the time when I started creating love lists and celebration books for other people. And at first I thought it was for other people. It would be mostly gift-giving occasions. And I didn't have a lot of money, so I would create gifts and I would think it was for someone else. Like, oh, this is a gift for them.
Right.
But what I saw, and it's exactly what I said when I was looking at your photo and being filled with love, it was that it's like the depression would not be there when I was in the process of creating these gifts for people, because of course I was just in that love.
Right.
So I thought that it was for other people, but that became sort of, I call it the secret sauce of any of this. When we're creating magic that we might think is for someone else, we get to be the first recipients. Mm. Always.
That's so true. And it is like medicine, right? So
absolutely.
We're offering the medicine that we most need. And that's why I always believe that we should really listen to our urges and our desires and what we really feel like creating or what experiences we really want to be having. Because even if from the outside they look like they're for other people, they're actually what we most need. Yeah. And I share that with you, the anxiety and depression thing. And it feels like, I feel like sometimes I'm running and just kind of keeping it at bay. And so from the outside, we can look like, oh my God, they're just the most joyous people. They're so lucky. How did they do that? Or they're so lucky they're made that way. And it's like, actually, we're not made that way at all. We're fighting for our lives over here.
That's right. You know what? That's so true. I always try to say that to people. You know, it's like that pit of darkness is always right there. Like I could fall any moment. I could fall in. And celebration and, you know, offering love to people is exactly what you say. It's the medicine that I create and I take myself every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, and the more we practice it, the better we get at it.
Yes, yes. The more, I was just thinking about this the other day. I'm so glad you said that. I was thinking about that it becomes, like, the more that we, like you said, when we listen to those little, you know, like, create this, or send that, or do this, then it becomes that sort of like a well-oiled wheel within us. That it just, we start to be able to just trust it. And those ideas, to me, they start to come more, it feels like more abundantly.
Yeah, I bet they do. And also, yeah, I think we're growing our capacity to be that channel. So we know how to open our heart more easily because we've been practicing.
Yes. Which brings up something else that I think is so important when we're talking about this whole topic of making magic, whether it's for ourselves or others, is vulnerability.
Mm.
And because to me, one of the things that I feel like I've been lucky enough to practice now for actually a couple decades since that really, you know, suicidal period of my life, is really practicing being uncomfortable in putting myself out in the world, or even if it's just me and one other person, that opening of the heart can feel really vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I even noticed it. So that's kind of bringing us to our most recent adventure of this bubble flash mob.
Yes,
that
yeah.
We kind of co-hosted. You and Ian were on the forefront of it, and I was just kind of the muse for it. But yeah, I felt that, like, when I arrived at the park, like, oh my God, we're going to do this, and are people going to like it, and are they going to participate, and is it going to work, and are they going to accept this offering, you know, and I guess it doesn't really matter if they do or not, but yeah, I felt that vulnerability when I first arrived.
Me too. In fact, you know, and this happens a lot, like that morning, I remember waking up and, you know, here it is again, right? Like, I don't just like roll out of bed, like excited. I woke up and there was that anxiety first, you know, like, uh-oh, you know, what if, what if, what if? And I had to like immediately, like, and I practice now. So it's like, I immediately just was like, you know what? I'll be there. Andrea will be there. Ian will be there. We're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
You know, like, just like turning away from all of that, because all those same things. What if this? What if people don't like? What, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it has to then be brought back to, for me, always to that place of like, you know what? We want to do this. And it's going to be great because the three of us, at least, are really excited.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So tell us now, let's go. What is a bubble flash mob?
Yeah, it's funny. I couldn't even remember how I came up with that exact idea, but it was inspired by Amy Krause Rosenthal, her book, Plant a Kiss.
Mm.
And bless her heart, right? Bless
yeah.
And she had wanted some people to help promote that book when it first came out. And I raised my hand to do so. And I came up with the idea of doing a Plant a Kiss Day, where a bunch of women bloggers just would create something in the world that felt joyful and kind, and that we would, you know, connect it to the book, which is about that, planting kindness, planting kisses. And somehow the idea for a bubble flash mob came to me back then. This was in 2012. And it's so simple, right? It's exactly, it's kind of like the love list. It's just a simple idea. You get a bunch of bubbles, you go somewhere, you know, public, and at a, you know, designated time, everybody blows bubbles together.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, you know, when, again, it's the thing, when I first thought of the idea, I think it was kind of just like, okay, well, Ian happens to know how to make really big bubbles, which is a great skill.
Which is an awesome superpower, totally.
It is an awesome superpower. So we, you know, I already knew that no matter what, he and I would have a blast because they're magical. They're just simply magical to see these huge bubbles that are like the size of cows in the sky. So we decided we were going to do it at Dolores Park, but people could do it anywhere, right? It could be a supermarket parking lot. It could be a neighborhood children's playground. It could be the sidewalk outside of your house.
So sweet. Oh my God, I'm just imagining it in a supermarket, like not in the parking lot, but just in the supermarket, and how wonderful that would be. And tell us a little more logistically. So do people bring bubbles? Do you pass them out?
Both. Yes. So, and this is just the way I've done it. You know, I always like to say, you know, people can do whatever, but I've now done three of them. And so there are some things that do seem to really work the best. I mean, one is that it's like to both bring bubbles, but also, you know, encourage people to bring their own, because you don't know who's going to show up. You don't know how many people will be there. So it's great to have, you know, to have some bubbles on hand to hand out. So, you know, and they're pretty inexpensive to get. So bringing the bubbles, people can, if they want to make the really big bubbles, which I encourage people to do, because I think that's part of the fun, is having those really great gigantic ones.
Yeah, it made a big difference over the weekend. I think the kids were just like, the numbers of wide eyes, even with grownups, was astounding. Like everyone was blown away.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't have to. I mean, you know, don't let that stop you from doing it, because small bubbles are just as fun, but it's really simple. There's tons of YouTube videos. All you have to do is type in, how do I make giant bubbles? And you'll get, you know, videos on how to make solution, videos on how to make the wands. But if you want to even go easier, Amazon, I know, because I just Googled it right before our talk, Amazon sells the giant bubble wands. They're like $20.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know how many you get for $20, but it's a couple, I think. And they sell the giant bubble solution, which is different than the solution for smaller bubbles.
Oh, cool.
So you could just go on Amazon, you know, or go, you know, I'm sure party stores probably sell them. They're basically two wands that have this rope in between of, you know, varying lengths and kinds. They make different sizes of bubbles. But so people can, you know, they can gather the supplies as much or as little as they want, depending on where people live. Like, I promoted it through, there's a lot of places here in San Francisco, obviously, that we can post. You know, there's, you know, Johnny Fun Cheap, there's the Chronicle, there's all kinds of
Right. So you could either just like be spontaneous and be like, okay, it's a Saturday morning. Let's go to the dollar store, buy a bunch of bubbles, and go to this particular park and just go for it, like without any kind of planning or advertising, and just pass out bubbles to everybody, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or you could write, or you could create more of an event, like, okay, here's this free event. We're going to put it on this website, and, or, yeah, exactly. Submit it to different websites so that people can specifically come for it.
Right. And like what you said, so I invited people who didn't live in San Francisco, if they wanted to join us, to do exactly what you just said. Go get some bubbles, blow some bubbles with us at, the same time we're going to do it. And I heard from a lot of people who did just that. They went out, they bought maybe three or four or five containers of bubbles, went to a park, handed them out,
Oh, nice.
Right? And that's every bit as magical. I mean, think about it for yourself. You're standing at a park, maybe you're reading a book, and someone hands you a container of bubbles. Right? Like, how
That's
fun is
pretty
that?
rad. Well, and if you're a grown up and you haven't done that in a while, it's pretty amazing. And you tap into that energy and that wonder and that feeling of play, and it does give you something. This really unique thing lights up in you that maybe has been kind of dormant.
Yes, it's true, isn't it? And it's funny because I was just listening to a teacher this morning talking about how important it is to step out of our routine, no matter how small that stepping out is. And I think part of what you're teaching us and leading us with this class on magic is that, right? It's stepping out of just our ordinary, here I am again doing this thing I do. I always do this, right?
Yeah.
And life feels magical because when we step out of that, we're present in a new way. And I think that's what bubbles do. You know what I mean? I think they bring us into the moment.
Yeah, they really do. It's so true. They bring us into wonder, they bring us into imagination. And yeah, and a kind of magic. Well, and then the other thing, so we were talking about this before we started recording. Sherry, about how this was a really connecting experience for you and your partner.
Yes. I had t I had told you, and that Ian is my partner, and we'd been going through a really difficult time this last month. Maybe one of the most difficult in our relationship. We've been together 11 years, and we're just at one of those places where we were finding it really hard to connect with one another, really hard to appreciate one another. Yeah. And when you had said, hey, do you want to do another bubble flash mob? My first thought was, oh, I don't want to do it without Ian because he's always my partner in this.
Yeah.
And so I just said to him, I know we're having a really hard time and this feels a little like counterintuitive, but what do you think? And it is one of the things I love about him. He was instantly like, yes. And it's just like he's always ready for some delight. So it really, both the planning of it and the delight of it, and just like we were talking about earlier in our conversation, Andrea, it's like by like teaming up in the way we did to what we thought was going to be to offer magic to the world, it healed something in us. It brought us back to our own magic as a couple.
That's so beautiful. Well, and then what I was sharing with you also was that it had actually the same effect for Ben and I. So Ben, who's only 10, we've been struggling, for a while now, sort of post separation and divorce and transitioning to two houses. So understandably wobbly times. And he's kind of too cool for school and thinks everything I do is kind of stupid. And so, he was sort of, we had to kind of drag him to the bubble flash mob, and I had to enlist the help of two of his friends who actually wanted to come to get Ben excited about it. He loved it. He was like a natural at making those big bubbles. Like, I think Ian showed him, and then he was just on fire and was loving it. And all the little kids were sort of surrounding him. And it was so spectacular. I mean, it was just so delightful to have this experience with him that he knew that I was part of creating this sort of magical scene. And he got to see I don't know. He just got to see this window maybe into me that wasn't his normal window into me. And we created an experience together that was mutually delightful. And it created some really beautiful connection and a story now that we get to have.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because I think that's another part that I'm noticing as I'm doing interviews and stuff and thinking about magic is it's also about story. And we create stories when we decide, let's do something kind of different today. What if we did this? What if we bought a bunch of bubbles and took them to the park today? Whatever happens, you have a story at the end of that day. Maybe only three people end up blowing bubbles with you, but you end up spending the whole afternoon together and you go out to have dinner with these strangers. Like, who the heck knows what would happen, right?
Yes, and you're so right. You know, Ian and I often say, and again, this is, I think, part of why this was so great for us at this moment in time, is that it's like we love to create moments that we remember, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know you're a photographer and you took some gorgeous photos of the day. And to me, like, there's that added joy. Like, it's not just the moment of it happening, but it's the retelling of the story and the remembering and the new, like you're saying, the new energy that comes into it.
Yeah.
One of the things that happened, I don't even know if I had a chance to tell you this, but someone came up to me who works at a children's hospital. Mm. And so she works with children with cancer. Mm. And she said, do you think there's any way that you guys would be willing to do this? And I was like, are you kidding?
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Yes.
I was like, of course we would. And I knew Ian, you know, I knew he would do it in a minute, you know. And I, you know, just like that by stepping out and creating something, now there's that possibility for another story.
Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful. Sign me up for that, too, if you guys do it. I could be the photographer there.
I'm definitely going to pull you into it. I thought you would.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. What also makes me think about, you know, that vulnerability and that willingness to be exposed in a certain way or seen. So when you allow yourself to be a little vulnerable, a little bit seen in relationship, whether you're in relationship with someone you know or with strangers, they actually get to see you. And then there's intimacy there and connection. And that is the juice. Like, that's what is feeding us, actually. That's the soul food.
It is. And you just reminded me of something that occurred to me while we were there. So a lot of people were so wonderful about coming up and saying, thank you for doing this. You know, like, a lot of people were really grateful. And whenever anyone would come up, I would say, but it's you too, right? Like, if it would have been great, like I said, if it was you and Ian and me, but each of these other people that showed up because they saw it listed or they saw it happening and they came to join us, they made the magic even more spectacular.
Yes, that's so true. They amplified the magic and it was a collaboration at that point.
Yes, thank you. That's it. It's a collaboration. Like, so each time they thanked me, for me, it reminded me, like, well, sure, we sort of set the framework, you know, but you're every bit of part of the magic. And I think that's pointing to what you're saying about the intimacy. It's relationship.
Right. Exactly. Oh, this is so great.
I'm getting this too. And Ian always says this too, because he does a lot of things that are pretty magical in the world. And he always says, I never want to, like, I'm not putting on shows. I'm inviting people to participate.
Right.
And it's very different.
It is very different. Oh, I love that. So my boys are getting a little bit loud, but I'm finishing up right now. So what sort of final, you know, not just about a bubble flash mob, but like, what do you say to someone who's feeling a little bit shy about creating some kind of magic in their little world or their community? What would you want to say to them?
You know, I think my own experience is to start really small with something that feels just, you know, beyond me. Mm. Like, I always think about, I was just writing about this recently, like, I always wanted to dance, but I felt like such a klutz all of my life. Mm. until I was like in my 40s. And I finally told myself, you know, all you have to do is go to the class and not throw up. Like, that was really
that's the only requirement.
And I think it's the same thing with creating magic. Like, if we said to ourselves, you know, whatever it was, I'm going to pass out flowers, you know, all I have to do is buy one flower and hand it to a stranger.
Mm.
And, it, you know, and however I am with that, how whatever's going on is absolutely fine, perfect.
Mm.
But, you know, like that, just to give ourselves the room to step in a way that is, like, doable. And then let that, like we've been talking about, let that sort of muscle in us develop over time.
Yeah, exactly. And then if it feels better to do it with a friend, you can get a co-conspirator.
Yes.
On the case. And then, yeah, and that usually is the way that I go. And then, yeah, you have someone to be gleeful with, you know, after you pass out the flowers or whatever. And then it just becomes, and then again, like the story thing, then you have that story with this other person. Remember that time we went to the grocery store and we just handed all the moms flowers? Or
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then those people have that story too. They're like, oh my God, that day that I was walking through Walmart and I was having this really rough day with my kids and someone just walked up to me and did this thing. So everyone gets it. It's just, it's like a contagion, this happy contagion.
Yes. And I think what you're saying is also another piece of this, which is to remember, and I always, you know, sort of have to say this to myself. It's not about me. This is not about me, you know, and maybe that, like, to keep our focus on exactly what you and I have been saying, which is we're in relationship to the world. This is a way of inviting love in and just stepping into that channel. And it's not about me.
That's so beautiful and so true. It's like it isn't, it isn't. It's like you'll get the goodies, but it's helpful sometimes to think like, you know what? This is about me making someone's day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sherry. This has been so inspiring. And I feel like my heart is full just thinking about doing these kind things in the world. And it makes me want to do more of them. So thank you. I have a feeling that everyone listening is feeling the same way. So thank you.
Yeah, what a great way to start my day. Thank you so much.